Well, if you have a Bible, please do turn to Mark chapter 4. And we're looking at the first 20 verses. I won't read it again, as we've had it read and acted out, but I will refer to it over the next few minutes. So it'd be helpful to have it open if you can in front of you. Now, there was a man who was rather upset and angry with his wife because she was refusing to admit that she had a hearing problem. So one day, he was at his doctor's, and he asked his doctor for advice. The doctor told him to go home, and he told him how he could confirm his wife's hearing problem. What he could do is he could open the front door, and from there he could ask his wife what was for dinner. Then the doctor said, if she doesn't answer, move a bit closer to the kitchen and repeat the question again. And if she still doesn't answer, go right up to her and whisper in her ear, what's for dinner? And see how she answers. And she'll have to admit the problem, if there is a problem, if you do that. So the man raced home. He thought, yes, I can sort this out at last. He opened the front door and he said, what's for dinner, honey? And the wife didn't reply. So he moved a little bit closer. And he said, what's for dinner, honey? And again, nothing was said. He didn't hear anything. So he looked into the kitchen, and sure enough, there she was at the kitchen counter preparing the dinner. So he tiptoed over to her and whispered in her ear, what's for dinner, honey? She turned and looked at him straight in the eye. For the third time, I said we're having meat. Now, I borrowed that joke, but I want to ask you this morning, how is your hearing? How is your hearing? Don't worry about anyone else's hearing this morning. How is your hearing? Because in the parable of the sower, that's what Jesus is asking. How is your hearing? Have a look at verse 3. He says, listen. In fact, literally he says, listen, behold, it's emphatic. What he's about to say is important, and he wants the people to listen well. And look at verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Sounds like one of these tongue twisters, but he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that verse is repeated, those words are repeated in verse 23, a little bit later on, just to make sure that the people there get the message. These words are actually a command. God has given us ears, so hear. Use them for listening to what Jesus has to say. I don't know whether this was why I was given this passage when I came to the parent and toddlers group. I had to talk about, thank you God for my ears. We use our ears for listening, to hear. But hearing isn't just hearing. It's not just registering the words in our minds as somebody speaks to us. There's more to it than that. In these verses in the parable of the sower, Jesus quotes from an Old Testament prophet called Ezekiel. God was speaking to Ezekiel and said to him, son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. We can have eyes to see and ears to hear, but not actually see, not actually hear what's going on. I wonder whether you've ever had the experience of your husband or wife or a son or a daughter speaking to you, and when they finish, you know that they've been speaking to you, but you can't remember what they were talking about. It's just completely gone. Or perhaps reading a book, and you get to the end of the book and you can't really remember much of what you've been reading. We can hear but not take in what we're hearing. Well, in the parable that was acted out for us, Jesus describes other ways in which we can listen and hear, but not really take in what we're hearing. In this parable, Jesus is telling the crowds a story that they could immediately relate to. A number of them in Palestine would have been farmers. They would have been sowers of seeds themselves. They'd understand the process that Jesus was describing as the farmer sowed his seed. But before we get to the parable, have a quick look at verse 14, because this is the center of the story that Jesus tells. Verse 14, quite simply, the farmer sows the word. the farmer sows the word. But what is he sowing? What is this word that Jesus talks about here? The seed that the farmer is scattering in this parable is this word. Well, it's actually this word that Jesus calls us to hear this morning. In verse 11, Jesus says to his closest disciples, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you." The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. And what Jesus means there is that the way into the kingdom of God that was partially revealed in the Old Testament is now fully revealed in the life and the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has taught publicly the good news of God, the fact that the kingdom of God is near, and he said, repent and believe this good news. So the secret of the kingdom of God, the word that Jesus speaks of in this story, is the good news of how we can enter into the kingdom of God. And to answer in Sunday school fashion, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Jesus called people to repent and believe. He calls you and me to repent, which is, we were talking about this with the children a couple of weeks ago, it's to acknowledge that we are rebels before God. We don't live as God created us to live. Let's think about the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. We may not literally worship other gods, but the commandment doesn't just mean that. It means don't put anything before the one true creator God. Not family, friends, job, possessions. Don't put anything before God. Even good things, don't put them before God. But we all do that, don't we? None of us puts God first in absolutely everything. And Jesus says we need to repent of that. Turn away from that and turn around to serving God. And secondly, Jesus calls us to believe that he is the Son of God, the Son of God who came to die on the cross for us, that he paid the price, took the punishment for our rebelliousness against God, so that we don't have to, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can enter the kingdom of God that Jesus talks of here. That is the secret of the kingdom of God that Jesus refers to in verse 11. The mystery that is made known to us through the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. And it's the word that is sowed by the sower in this parable. It's the gospel, the good news of the Christian faith. So I'll ask again, how is your hearing when it comes to this word? How is your hearing when it comes to this word? Now you might be getting a little worried at this stage that we haven't even started thinking about the parable properly. But we have, because the parable is all about the seed that is sown, which is the word. It's about how the seed is sown and how it grows in the soil, how it grows in the hearts of the people there. You see in verse 1 that the crowd had gathered around Jesus, and it was so large he had to get into a boat on the lake in order to be able to speak to all those who have gathered. And the people listening are said to be on the shore, but actually more literally they're said to be on the ground. The people listening to Jesus are on the ground, and it's the same word that is used of where the seed falls, the ground. And I wonder whether as Jesus looked out over the crowds, he was thinking of them sitting on the soil as he was sowing the word, as he sowed the seeds of his words. And he pictured the words having different effects with the different people in front of him. As we so graphically saw, four types of people are described in this parable. But actually, there's only really two types of people, two divisions in a way. The question is, will the seed take root and last? Will it persevere and produce fruit? Or will it die? Will it die before any grain is harvested from it? Jasmine was very good. She was the sower in Israel, walking around with the basket, throwing the seed out. That's what the sower in Israel would do, throwing the seed around the field. There weren't fences around the area. And there would actually be paths across the field where people would walk along to get through. And the seed would be sown in October to December, hoping then for a good harvest in June the following year. But a good harvest would only come from good soil. There was little that the sower could do to get a good harvest other than to have good soil. And the first group that Jesus describes is the seed that has fallen on the paths. We see that in verse 4. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. The soil was like a hard path where people are walking along. It's beaten down hard, so the seed sits on the top. It doesn't even go into the soil. And it's just sitting there waiting for the birds to come and eat it up. And Jesus says these seeds and this soil are like people who, when the word of God are spoken to them, have it snatched away by Satan. You see that in verse 15. It's snatched away by the devil before it can put down any roots and get any goodness from the soil. And these are sobering words. There are people who hear the good news of the gospel, the free gift of forgiveness through the Lord Jesus, and it goes in their ears, but it's snatched away straight away before they even start to think about it. I suspect that each of us probably thinks this isn't us. But when Jesus was saying these words, I don't think he was just thinking of people far away from where he was. He was looking out on a huge crowd of people. And I think he would have realized that some of them there were like that. They maybe had come to see Jesus for the miracles, not to hear what he was actually saying to them. And perhaps he was thinking of hundreds and thousands of years from his time, and people who would hear the news about Jesus but have it snatched away, not even think about it. Maybe he was thinking of us here today. Some people just don't believe the Christian gospel. They think it's a load of superstitious nonsense, a religious crutch that some people need to get through life. That's not what Jesus is about. These people don't even consider the claims that Jesus makes for himself. They don't hear Jesus because they don't want to hear Jesus. After England's dismal showing in South Africa, the inquest has started. Fabio Capello is going to be staying on as England manager. But it seems he's quite a stubborn man. Quite a bit of the criticism levelled at him were about his tactics and his approach with the players. And you wonder whether he's actually going to hear some of the critics, or whether he's so stubborn that actually he's not even going to bother hearing them, not listen to what they're saying. Don't be someone who doesn't hear the word of God because you don't want to. Put it more positively, because that was a bit of a triple negative, but to put it more positively, hear the word of God to you this morning. Hear the word of God. The second group of people who Jesus describes might seem marginally better than the first, but in reality they aren't. Have a look at verses 5 to 6 and 16 to 17. Some of the seed fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. In verse 16, others, like seeds sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, around the Sea of Galilee, there would have been quite a lot of ground where there was a thin topsoil with then a layer of rock underneath. And as a seed started to grow, it would grow well in the rain of spring. It would shoot up quickly. It would look like a good plant. But when the hot weather came, there were no roots. And that plant would shrivel up and die, as Ruth did. What initially looked good is superficial. There would be no harvest from that seed. Jesus says that this is like people who maybe have heard the Christian message many times, and people have enjoyed hearing it. Maybe you've heard this gospel many times, and initially you heard it and you reacted with great joy to it. You realized how you could know God, start to know the God who created everything and the privilege that that is. You realized that you could look forward with confidence in life and in death because of the hope that a Christian has. But you went home and that joy that you had quickly evaporated Your husband or your wife or your son or daughter or friends mocked your enthusiasm for the Lord Jesus. Your friends maybe told you you're a bit sad going to church. You started to realize that you might have to change how you're living if you really become part of God's kingdom. And worst of all, when troubles come, whether health or financial problems, family problems, you don't see much difference between yourself and others around you. Your initial joy in hearing the gospel evaporates as the sun shines down, and your newfound faith shrivels up and dies. You haven't allowed your initial faith to be watered with coming to hear God's word, studying the Bible, praying to God, meeting with other Christians. Perhaps you've heard what you wanted to hear from the preacher, but not the full message of the Christian faith. And I think this is a bit of a warning for each one of us to nurture our faith, to help it grow, to spend time reading the Bible, spend time with other Christians reading God's word. The basic Christian message, the gospel, is a simple message, but we keep on learning more about the Christian faith for the rest of our lives, as long as we live. So don't be someone who hears the gospel and takes it up like a hobby. And then gives it up when troubles come along. The Christian faith isn't a hobby. Well, the third group of people are described in verses 7 and verses 18 to 19. In verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. I can't remember which way around it was. I think it was Mary choking jasmine, and jasmine died. And verse 18 and 19, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Well, again, this initially sounds a little bit more promising, doesn't it? The seeds have fallen on good soil, and they start to grow well. The word of Jesus has been heard by receptive ears, people who understand and believe what Jesus is saying. But in Palestine, apparently there are thorns that can grow to 6 feet tall that suck the nutrients from the soil, soak up all the sunlight that's falling down on them, and the seeds sown. So the seeds have no chance. They can't see the sun. They don't get the nutrients from the soil to grow properly and produce fruit. And just so with someone who hears Jesus' words and perhaps starts to accept them. They make sense. And the person starts to follow Jesus. But Jesus says the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, come in and choke that word and make it unfruitful. Perhaps the worries of bringing up our children well, getting them into the right schools. Perhaps the struggle with old age and failing health. The concerns, perhaps, at the moment about our job and how safe it is. Jesus talks about the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things. And I think wealth can be like an anesthetic to us. It dulls us to the fact that our greatest need as human beings is to get back into a right relationship with our Creator. Wealth gives us comfort and pleasure and a feeling of security. And there's nothing wrong with that per se, but if it deceives us into thinking that we're safe before God, if we don't, or that this is what life is all about, that there is no God, then it's wrong. Wealth might be able to buy us a few more years at the end of our lives, but we all die in the end, and how will wealth prepare us for that day? Only the words of Jesus prepare us for that day, the words about how to enter into the kingdom of God. I know a minister who, when people ask him what job he does, he says, I prepare people for death. Sounds a bit gruesome, but that's what he sees that he's doing, preparing people for the physical death that we will all experience. But we come now to the fourth and final group that Jesus describes, and they are like seeds that fall on good soil and produce a great crop, a great harvest. They hear Jesus' words, they accept it, and they grow to maturity in that word. Verse 20. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Well, what is the crop that Jesus refers to there, or the fruit. Well, I think the fruit in the context of this story is persevering trust in the Lord Jesus and his message. Persevering trust. That's what hearing Jesus properly leads to. Recognizing that Jesus' message is so important that we can't just take it or leave it. We can't treat it as a hobby to do for a little while and then turn to something else. The message of Jesus isn't one priority among competing priorities. The message of Jesus is the priority. And it is a message of life and death, as simple as that and as important as that. And if we persevere in trusting Jesus, if our lives on this earth show that persevering trust, then we will have life and we'll come to know God the Father. Jesus said at another time in John's Gospel, we read of him saying this, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Hearing Jesus' words properly is to believe them. That we need to repent and believe, trusting that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sin, so that we might cross over from death to life and life eternal. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, how is your hearing today? Do you hear the words of Jesus? We heard that theme verse from Sunday school, from James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not be merely listeners of the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So if you're hearing the words of Jesus today, trust in him and start to live for him and know life eternal. Amen.